In John's Gospel, chapter 13, I'm going to start with verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil now be put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things in his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. And he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, doth thou wash my feet, or do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do you knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter or later on. And Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needs not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. You are all clean, but not all, for Jesus knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean, speaking of Judas Iscariot. And after he washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know you what I have done unto you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, a servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Now, these scriptures here are very dear to me on a personal level and, of course, on a ministry level. And it tells us much about the Master's heart concerning people, concerning ministry, concerning leadership. I remember when I was in Bible school, I lived on a second floor apartment. There's only two floors. And throughout the time there, our apartment, our upper apartment, became known as the upper room because we would just have the presence of God there, you know, all the time. We waited on God, and God would show up, and people would call our room the upper room. And, you know, we went to Bible school, and I would have, you know, come home, then often go to work, and, you know, go back and forth from my apartment. But on my apartment door, I would have these scriptures that I just read to you posted on the door. And I'm big on that. I'm big on writing scriptures down, putting them on your refrigerator, put them where you'll see them. You know, most of the time you put them on the refrigerator, we see that several times a day, you know, or in the bathroom and so forth. But because, you know, I was a Bible school student, you know, you're hardly in your apartment, but you just kind of go in and out. I post these on the door, and just to remind me what kind of attitude I was supposed to have wherever I went. That here Jesus washed the disciples' feet and gave us an example that we should do the same. That no matter where I am or, you know, what position I hold or what I'm going to do, my job is to follow the Master and put on the servant's apron. Yeah. And I don't really have any notes on this, but I have some things in my heart. And what kind of stirred this earlier this week is my wife was asking me about a certain situation, and I handled it a certain way. And she questioned me, says, you know, honey, now you can't call me honey, she can call me honey. And says, why do you handled that way? Because, you know, many pastors and many bosses would just go in there and demand their way, demand their thing. And Hannah says, I'm the boss, you do what I say. And that's the way it is. Not only in the world, but unfortunately and sadly, in many churches that pastors and church leaders have that mindset that just because I'm pastor, I get to lord over God's heritage. I get to be a lord and dominate and just make decisions, and people bow down to everything I say. And many people feel that is what's called leadership. And I shared with her that that is true. Many pastors operate that way, but I choose not to because of these scriptures. These scriptures are my core values of leadership and in life. And it just kind of, after we talked about these things, I shared other scriptures with her. You know, these things have always been in my heart, that what I call the Jesus style of leadership, or the Jesus style of being a pastor or a leader, or just being a servant, the heart of a servant. And it says it so well. And so let's just take a few verses, look at them, and we'll look at some other verses as well, and just trust God that He'll help us this morning. And if anything, I don't want to give you knowledge this morning. But what I want to give you is, you know, there's something called the spirit of faith. It's not something that can be taught but caught. But also this spirit, a spirit of being a servant, having a right heart towards ministry, having a right heart towards people, having a right heart towards yourself, and never getting to the place where you think you've arrived, where you think you have the right to tell people your opinion. And that is so prevalent in the world and in the body of Christ. And you remember Jesus said this of James and John. Now, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he had to go through Samaria. Now, Samaritans and Jews didn't get along because of doctrinal differences. You can almost say it was like the Protestant-Catholic split. You know, the Samaritans, they believed a certain way, and the Jews believed a different way about certain things. So the Jews didn't talk to Samaritans, and, you know, Jesus, the well, remember, in John chapter 4, you know, ministered to the woman and had a great revival in Samaria. Jesus didn't have a problem with their little doctrinal differences, neither should we. You know, that just tells us we are never right to fight for our doctrines. We are never right to argue saying it's my way or the highway. Again, this is what, you know, I want to communicate, you know, and it's being parted, not just by knowledge. But nevertheless, in another, you know, where I left off, Jesus was going to go to Jerusalem, and he had to go through Samaria. Now, this time, because he was going to Jerusalem, he was not going to stop. The Samaritans got a little offended and said that they didn't receive and said, no, we don't want meetings with you. We don't want this going on and so forth. So James and John came to Jesus and said, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven? Let us smite them. You know, let's just use that authority and beat them down. And we know the words of Jesus, and he said this, you know not what spirit you are of. Notice this, they were followers of Jesus. They were ministers of Jesus. They were apostles of the Lamb. And they got a hold of a wrong spirit thinking it was God's spirit. And they got a hold of a spirit where I have a right to tell people, you turn or burn. I have a right to pass judgment on people. I have a right to say I'm right and you're wrong and be angry about it. And they call that boldness. But Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you are of. And that's the same thing. That's why I love this. Because, like it or not, it's very easy to slip into the world's way of thinking. We have to constantly have our minds renewed with the Word of God. And this is true about leadership. This is true about ministry. This is true about life. This is true of how you conduct your business, and is to make sure we're of the right spirit. How do you know you have the right spirit? Jesus is giving us an example what a right spirit is. And so I love these verses, and it just seemed good to me, you know, just to remind myself of these things, to judge myself of these things, and if anything, I'm preaching myself, and you can listen in and see if you can't be helped and blessed as well. So let's just take these verse by verse and just see what the Spirit of God leads us in. Verse 12, let's just pick up with verse 12. So after he washed their feet and taken up his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done unto you? That is worthy of meditation. Here was Jesus incarnate, means Jesus was God in the flesh. God created the universe. God created the earth. Man, God created all things. God is all-knowing, all-powerful. He is everywhere. And yet he chose to be incarnate. He chose to put the fullness in Jesus. Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Here is the Creator walking among men. If there was anybody worthy of service to, worship, sacrifice to give one's life for, it was Jesus. If anyone could demand, hey, I am someone come, you must respect me. You must do what I say. Yes, you must worship me. It'd be he. But that was not the attitude that he had. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon the form of a servant. God became man's servant. If God became man's servant, who are we to get demanding and to think that we are someone? Come and say, bless God. Or to think this, I'm beyond doing that. You see? It's very easy to do that because, you know, you get this, people have served 30 years. Well, I'm not going to serve a nursery anymore. No, you can't ask me to wash the toilet anymore. You know not what spirit you are of. Now, again, we all have to make corrections like that. See, I love training pastors and ministers. And boy, I make them wash toilets. I test them and prod them. Why? If they ever say to me, I'm beyond doing that, then I'm beyond training you. I can't use you. Because you might as well go out in the world and get some office job and be a CEO, and you can be demanding like that. But that has no place in the kingdom of God. Here our Lord and Master, God himself, took on a servant's apron and washed the disciples' feet. God has washed your feet. God has served you. God went to hell for you. And I love that. The word, know you not what I've done to you. And see, that's what we got to be reminded, what he has done for us. My goodness, I'd have gone to hell. You know, if it wasn't for Jesus, you know, I'd be the man most miserable. And so here, Jesus, God himself, came, went to hell for me, washed my feet. And he says, you know, I've given you an example. I want you to do as I've done. And so just perspective of a right spirit. You know, this sets Christianity apart from all the other religions of the world, that our Creator became a servant of man. That almost sounds irreligious. It almost sounds like, you know, some type of foreign doctrine to say our Creator became the servant of his creation. But here we see it. Jesus was a servant. I tell you, the most beautiful thing, I'm convinced that the most beautiful thing is a servant heart. A beautiful marriage is when a husband serves the wife and the wife serves the husband. When the parents serve the children serve the parents. It's a beautiful thing. A beautiful church is where we are humble and serve one another. Not thinking one's above another, but in humility. We have the Spirit of Jesus. We serve one another. All you singles that want to get married, you want in a little secret? All right, good, good, good. If you didn't say anything, I'd move on. The thing that will make you most beautiful is having a servant's heart. Absolutely. You know, when I was single, of course, there were many, many ladies that came to church, and many of them, you know, were nice-looking and potential people, you know. And, of course, you know, I followed my spirit. But my wife, who was Nancy Johnson before, you started coming to church, and I thought she was attractive. But I wasn't interested in her because she just came to church. I don't care if she's Miss America. I mean, I'm not just looking for beauty. The Bible says, "Broad beauty is vain." You know, it's what's on the inside. God looks on the inside. You know, if you marry just for beauty and you get a nag, you married a beautiful nag and your life's going to be miserable. The Bible says it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than a beautiful wife that's contentious, you know. But what happened, of course, with our church, you can't serve right away because, first of all, you got to be faithful and come to church, you know. And she was faithful to come to church. Then she began to serve. And she began to be a greeter and began to serve and do things for the pastors. And you know what? That caught my eye. Ooh. She was fair to look upon. And she had a servant spirit. Is this scriptural? Absolutely. Now, I don't know why I'm sharing this, but we'll call it free, no charge. Remember when Abraham was looking for a wife for his son Isaac? Beautiful. You young people, if you'll learn to be like Isaac, you know, you don't go looking for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. God will bring it to you if your heart is right. And so Isaac was faithful in his father's house, obeying his father, serving his father. And because he was faithful in father's house, father sent a messenger to bring his wife to him. So God will send angels. That's why God brought my angel from Messina, New York, which is 6 hours away, to Fredonia, New York, because I was busy in father's house. All right? And so, you know, without going in great detail of the story, Abraham sends his servants to go into a certain land to get a wife for his son Isaac. They were arranged marriages back then. Thank God we don't have that today. Amen. But it is a type of what God will do. God will send angels. But it's very interesting what the servant said. You know, there was young ladies that were, you know, drawing water. That was part of their duties, you know, for the camels and stuff like that. And there were many young ladies, beautiful ladies, you know, serving there. And I love what the Abraham's servant said. It said, "Lord, I need to know which one." And it says, "Whatever one comes to me and says, not only will I get water for you, but I also will pour water and I'll feed all your camels. I will pour water for your camels. I'll serve you with no strings attached." They didn't know what was going on. And he said, "Let that be the person." And here comes Rebecca, and he goes up there, "Oh, can I have a drink?" And gives him drink. "Not only will I give you drink, I will give a drink for your servants. I'll give for your cattle. I'll feed. I'll serve." And he says, "She's the one." I mean, that's the type of person you want to serve. So if you want Mr. Right, be Mrs. Right. If you want Mrs. Right, be Mr. Right. That is free, no charge. All right? Now, somehow we got that from washing feet. Verse 13, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am." And I apply this to ministry. That's why we teach people to call pastors pastor, not just Mike, not just Joe, not just Tom. Even though pastors and leaders are servants, it's good to show honor their anointing, because Jesus said that. Jesus didn't say, no, don't call me Master. No, don't call me Lord. Just call me Jesus. Call me Jesus for short. No, he wasn't like this. He says, you call me Master. You call me Lord. You recognize my anointing. You recognize the God's call on me, and you call me by such. He says, that's good. And so here Jesus says, it's good to call your pastor, pastor. Now, why do you do that? You show respect for the anointing, and that anointing will work for you. If you call me Mike, you'll get Mike, and you ain't going to get much out of Mike. You know, Mike has nothing to offer you. but the anointing on my life and the grace upon my life will minister to you. And I've noticed that throughout the years. Those that have honored me as the pastor, my gifts work for them. Those that don't honor me, call me Mike. And though I've never had the operation of the Spirit of God on their behalf. And I can't turn it on and off. It is a law of God. And so this is good to be put in remembrance here. And so even though a pastor, your leaders are servants, you should never treat them casually and just say, well, I'll call you Tom, I'll call you Dick, I'll call you Joe. No, you give them reverence. You know, God's big on titles. All throughout the Bible, very few references are of God other than, you know, you just refer to him as God. But when you see God announce him, he calls himself the God Almighty, the God and Father, my Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Mary. There's always a dignity around his name, the Lord Jesus Christ, those type of things. So, again, some of this stuff, you know, was just helpful, and you know, to see there. But Jesus served. Jesus, even though he was of the highest rank, he had a servant's spirit. And that's what I want for this church and all the churches I want for your life, is a servant spirit. Jesus said he ever would be greatest in this kingdom. He was to be ruler and master of all, servant of all, servant of all. And I hope we got some time to look at scriptures, because serving is a sign of humility. And the Bible says this: God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And see, when you're a servant spirit, and you'll serve anybody, you know, and you know, you'll love on people regardless of their political situation, regardless of their income, regardless of their skin color. I am here to serve you. I'm here to wash your feet. How beautiful that is. How precious that is. Okay, we got to go on. Verse 14. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. How beautiful. Some denominations actually make this an ordinance of the church. We've done that in times past, you know, where you actually have a foot washing. But I think it's more of the spirit of it than an actual ordinance. It's just live a life of washing feet. To judge yourself, am I washing feet or I'm demanding? Do I get upset if I don't get my way? Is it God be my way or the highway? And so it's good from time to time to judge ourselves. What spirit am I of? Strife in marriage is simply by having a wrong spirit. I mean, you know, if you're servants of one another, you're not going to get upset. Even if you disagree, and you will disagree, you can disagree without being disagreeable. It'll be this year 21 years married to my wife. I've never raise my voice to my wife. Why? Because I'm perfect. You know me better than that. It's because if I dishonor her, I dishonor God. Now, again, we're all human. If we raised our voice, we said something we shouldn't, you know, we're all natural and human. You get that corrected. How? By saying, I'm sorry. If you've not said, I'm sorry to someone, you don't know what spirit you are of. That's pride. And again, I've told this before, before I was married, and I don't know, someone's pulling on me along this line. Before I was married, we were engaged, we went out to eat, and I grabbed and we were engaged at this point, because normally I wouldn't do this. I grabbed my fiancé's hands, looked in her eyes in the restaurant, and I said, Nancy, I'm sorry. And she was taken back, thinking, what did I say? What do you do? You know, he says, Michael, you've done nothing wrong. He says, I know. I said this, I'm just practicing for when we're married. Yeah. Well, it's been 6 years since I apologized with my wife. You know not what spirit you are of. Yeah. It's called meekness. It's called humility. It's called having a servant spirit. Well, bless God, I'm the head of the house. You're full of the devil. That's what you are. Jesus didn't have that spirit. But how many times have men used that? Well, bless God, I'm the head of the house, and woman, you submit to me. What about the parts as husband love your wives? What about the part in the same verses, submit one to another in the fear of God? Yeah. If I then, your Lord, Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. Verse 15, I'm giving you an example that you should do as I've done to you. Jesus is our example, and there's a good thing to judge about this. You know, and it's sad, so many in the body of Christ, they want a position. They want to be recognized, and they don't know what spirit they're of. We understand that we have a beautiful example, the tale of two beings. We have someone called Lucifer, who was created perfect, perfect in beauty. We can read in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, that had a position, we had grace from God, but he wanted more. Somehow he felt like he wasn't getting enough attention. He wanted what God had. And he decided, well, bless God, I'm gonna assert my authority. I want to get my way. I'm going to have it my way, and I'm going to take the throne of God. That didn't go very far, did it? But we see that spirit. And it's easy to give into is whenever we become demanding. Whenever we try to fight for our way and say, well, and in a marriage, in a workplace, when we fight to try to get our way, we've embraced the wrong spirit. Because if you understand what faith in God is, it says, oh, I'll submit, God will take care of it. Yeah. See, that's what sometimes true faith in God is just letting go and let someone else have their own way, and God will take care of you. Yeah. But when you take it in your own hands, you're like Lucifer. And, yeah, and it didn't go very good for him. And yet we see Jesus. Jesus was greater, owned all things. He acted like he owned nothing. He preferred everybody. He served. He washed feet. He ministered to the people. And so this Jesus said, is my example to you. Do thou as I've done unto you. Now I love this. Verse 16, verily, verily, I say unto you, a servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than him that sent him. See, we're not greater than Jesus. I don't care if you're an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, you're not greater than Jesus. I don't care if you've been in ministry 50 years and you have visions of Jesus. You're not greater than he is. Jesus washed people's feet. We're to wash one another's feet. And see, this is the type of spirit we're to embrace. Verse 17, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. And I love that about Jesus. How many know we can know something and not do something? The Bible says, be not just hearer of the word, but doers. We can amen, yes, be a servant, yes, bless God. We shouldn't have our way, and we can go out and be demanding, and that's my way, the thermostat, what I want, we're going to go eat where I want, we're going to do this where I want. See, let me help you. I don't know, this home thing keeps coming up in my spirit. I like it warm. In my office, I keep my house at 75 degrees. Now, if I were to say I'm the head of the house, I'd keep the whole house 75 degrees. No, I freeze in the rest of the house. Whatever my wife wants, that's her happy medium. She likes it 65, I like it 75. And so for the sake of the children, somewhere about 70. And so, you know, but it makes for when you outdo one another love, you prefer one another. How beautiful that is. In the workplace, you just come as a servant. They'll just raise you to the top. They can trust you. They know that you're not going to be like Absalom in the Bible. You know who Absalom was? He was one of David's sons that says, you know, bless God, I'm going to take the kingdom. And secretly was talking to people, you know, if I was the boss, if I was the leader, I'd do it this way. They don't know what, just silently talking to people. You have the spirit of Satan, the spirit of Absalom, and it will always fail. But when you have a heart like David, it was said of David to Saul, even though Saul was throwing spears, everyone said of David, there is no one in your kingdom as so faithful as your servant, David. Why? He just served Saul. Threw a spear, just served him. Didn't talk bad about God's anointing. Didn't talk bad about people. He could be trusted, and God will always cause the cream to come to the top. See, many people go from job to job to job. If you have too many jobs, there's something wrong with you. You have a wrong spirit. A faithful man will abound in blessing. You stay there, the cream will come to the top having a humble serving spirit. Yay. If you know these things, happy. Notice you'll be happy. Happy. Miserable people are self-centered people. Well, you hurt my feelings. Let's analyze that. Well, I'm offended. Let's analyze. You, self-centered, me, self-importance. You know, the proverb says only through pride comes contention. That means if you're ever in strife with someone or upset with someone, it's because of your pride. Well, they said this, they shouldn't have. I have a right. They may not have said that. They may have not done that, but why are you upset? That James John, you don't know what spirit you are of. How many of you can be wronged and have a right spirit about it? You can be wrong and have a wrong spirit. That don't make it justified. Yay. See, this is worthy of meditation. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10. We'll just read this and maybe we'll get to another one. Again, not necessarily teaching, but just kind of exhorting to having the right spirit. Church strife is always around people that have wrong spirits, get upset, get fret, you know, bless God, they shouldn't have done this, you know, that type of thing. No, we're all human. Remember that the parable Jesus tells about the man that owned like a significant sum, it'd be like $20 million to his Lord in modern terms. It used talents in the Bible. And he owed like $20 million to his Lord, and he had nothing to pay. And the Lord forgave him. The master forgave him because he asked him. And that same servant that was just released of $20 million goes and finds someone that owed him 20 bucks. Grabs him by the neck. Give me what you owe me. And the man or woman says, oh, give me time. He pleaded the same thing that former servant pleaded to his master. And he wouldn't listen. He wouldn't forgive that minor offense. Wouldn't forgive that little thing. And it said this in the parable of the talent. The Lord of the house was angry. And he called him in and says, you wicked servant, I gave you your debt because you asked me. Couldn't you give your fellow servant that debt? I forgave you $20 million and you're putting them in prison for 20? You're holding unforgiveness over $20? Yeah. And then the whole thing is, we've been forgiven much. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't put all of our sins, all of our iniquities, all the things we've done in secret that we were forgiven of on the screen and held them over our heads? We come in free. Washed in the blood. We've done no wrong. Then brother, sister so-and-so says something with the wrong attitude. And we start saying, did you see sister? I don't like that attitude. There's something wrong with her. You got to be careful. You know not what spirit you are of. All right, let's look at this. Mark 10, verse 35. Again, I'm just preaching myself and encouraging, exhorting myself, letting you listen in on it. Again, understanding the right spirit of things. See, Darren, this is why you're principal. There's other people. This is why you're principal. You have the right spirit. Cream came to the top. Mark 10, 35. And James and John, the son of Zebedee, came to him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said to him, what do you want me to do for you? He said, grant unto us that we may sit one at thy right hand, another at thy left, in thy glory. You know, they wanted the position of ministry. But Jesus said unto them, you know not what you ask. Can you drink the cup that I can drink of? Can you be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? And they said to him, yeah, we can. Jesus said unto him, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of and the baptism where I'm baptized. But to sit on my right hand or my left is not mine to give, but is given to them whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they were much displeased with James and John. And Jesus called unto them and said unto them, you know that they are counted the rule of the Gentiles to exercise lordship over them. And their great ones exercise authority upon them. So that's how the world operates. I'm boss, you do what I say, and my boss, I got to do what he says. There's a chain command, and And that's how it works. But notice this. Verse 43. But so shall it not be among you. But whoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whoever shall be the chiefest or the highest shall be the servant of all. Even so, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom to many. So again, Jesus is saying the world is position, power, use me, see me. You know, I will step on someone to get their spot. So that's the world's way. But in my house, the greatest among you will be the servant. The servant of all. I mean, you look at Joseph in the Bible. Joseph was elevated to the prime minister of Egypt. I mean, he could have all the money he wanted, all the authority he wanted, but he didn't seek it out. Didn't look. And that's the thing. If you ever seek for authority and position in God's kingdom, you don't know that's the way the devil operates. You know, that you don't know what spirit you are of. The cream will come to the top, like Joseph. He was sold into prison, right? He could have been miffed. He could have been upset. I have a right to be angry at my brothers. They sold me into slavery, and I could have been eating good in daddy's house, and now I'm serving Potiphar here. But what did he do? He just faithfully served Potiphar out of a good heart. Just, how can I help you? And Potiphar trusted him because he served him. And he says, you know, concerning money, and everything prospered in Potiphar's house. Honey, there's a German shepherd outside, just letting you know. There's two German shepherds just went by. She likes German shepherds. Don't get distracted. And so, Joseph prospered being sold into slavery by serving. And of course, Potiphar's wife had some wrong ideas and falsely accused Joseph of hitting on her and was thrown into prison. Joseph could have been upset. Says, Potiphar did me wrong. Here, he got money. I mean, his business prospered because of me. I could be miffed at my brothers. I could be miffed at Potiphar, Potiphar's wife, and just hold a grudge and be a victim in life. And so many people are victims, and they whine and cry, why me, why me? You know not what spirit you are of. But he goes into prison, and he serves the head of the prison. He serves the other prisoners, and he forgets about himself and just serves blind. Didn't care if he's noticed or not. What a beautiful spirit. And see, God all the time is saying, man, that is someone I can trust. If someone can be faithful in small and little things and not being seen, I can take him from the bottom hell and lift him to the highest heaven. I can exalt him. God is always in the exalting business, but he needs the right spirit from us. Too many times we're trying to climb the ladder of exaltation. It's not a climbing ladder. It's a stepping down stone. Where the lower you go to him, the higher God can raise you up. The way up is down. And Joseph just went down here. He went to Potiphar's house. Then he went to prison, just served faithful to the Lord. And he got to the lowest part. Even fellow prisoners forgot about him. And God just took him from the prison, lifted him up the palace. And now he is a ruler of a nation. Why? He had a servant's heart. He had a right spirit about him. David had a right spirit. Wouldn't speak against Saul that threw spears at him. See, this is what makes greatness. Will you allow me one more scripture before I send you home? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 5, excuse me. We'll just read this and get you going. Servant spirit. So I encourage you to get these scriptures and meditate on them. Judge your life on them. And especially if you're in an area of leadership, because you have to, because as a leader, you do have to make decisions. You do have to do certain things. But always make sure you have a right spirit about yourself. Not only as a leader, you'll be served. Jesus was served. Jesus' disciples served Jesus. They would do errands, cut his grass, get his coffee. But also as a leader. A leader serves those that serve him or her. And have a servant's heart, always seeking the best interests of those around them. All right, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The elders that are among you, I exhort, I am also an elder, and this witness of the sufferings of Christ, and partakers of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof. So he's talking to the pastors, and says, don't do it by constraint, like you have to, because God told you to, but do it willingly. Not for filthy lucre, don't do it for money, but of a right mind, right attitude. You know, it says, neither being lords or trying to be boss over people, run it like, just like the world does. I'm the boss, and you're my slave, you do what I say, you got to earn me your paycheck, that type of thing. That's a right spirit. And it says this, that neither being lords over God, but being an example to the flock, being an example of service. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a glory, crown of glory that fadeth not away. That's the crown given if you faithfully fulfill the plan of God for your life, the crown of glory. Now notice this, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. It means, it seems like young people say, well, bless God, you can't tell me what to do. No, you don't know what spirit you are of. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Likewise, you submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. That means everybody. Subject one to another. Husband subject to wife, wife subject to husbands. You know, fellow church members subject to one another. What is that? Just being submissive. Submissive, having a servant's attitude. And just, how can I serve you? How can I help you? And giving people the benefit of doubt. They said something that may have pushed their buttons. Just give them the benefit of doubt. Well, they probably didn't mean that. Yeah. Yeah. But we live in such a world where people are offended. People have to vex and vent and have opinions. That's not the spirit of Christ. We just wash each other's feet. Washing the feet was the job of the lowest servant. You know, when they walked, they had Roman sandals or something barefoot. And, you know, and walk on the road, when you walk barefoot, I was a country boy, walk barefoot, your feet get dirty. And so even though you shower, you walk on dirt roads, your feet will get dirty. How many know all of us have dirty feet? There's little things about our personality. There's little things about us. Maybe we said something we shouldn't. We've done something we do. We all have dirty feet because we travel this earthen road. But what we do, Facebook, we air the dirt on each other's feet. We talk about the dirt. We even pray about the dirt. Think that God is on our side. Jesus didn't say pray about the dirt. He didn't say talk about the dirt. He says you wash that dirt. You wash their feet. And if someone else is vexed with your same vexation, you don't even repeat that. Says, oh, I didn't notice that. Oh, they don't mean that. They throw water on the fire, not gasoline. That's what he's talking about, washing each other's feet. Yay. Be subject. And this is key, be clothed with humility. Humility serves. Humility forgives. Humility let bygone be bygones. Humility will never bring an offense over and over again. Humility will never expose dirt on anyone's feet. Humility will wash it. Let me help you. I wash that in my thought life. I wash that in my prayer life. I wash that in my conversations with others. Yeah. Humility. For God resists the proud. See, a lot of times why people's prayers aren't answered, that they're exposing too many dirt, too many people's dirt. They're vexed, they're victims, they're venting, they're pointing fingers. And then they say, God, bless me, bless me, bless me. And our hands are dirty. See, the beautiful thing is when you wash feet in soap and water, you actually get to wash your own hands. Oh, yeah. Then after, you know, not only are their feet clean, your hands are clean. That's why the Bible says lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. See, dirty hands, as I've talked about you in private, I've vexed about you, I've vented about you, I've even prayed about you that God needs to help you because you need help, you know, in the wrong way. No, beautiful hands says, you know what? I don't bring anyone's offenses before you, therefore I have no offenses before you. Holy hands. See, this is what makes a beautiful spirit. And so God resists the proud, gives grace. Grace is everything God has to them. And says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. I tell you, this is key to exalting. What, exalting? Prosperity, healing, positions at work, finances, whatever you need to be exalted by grace. The way up is down, humility, a servant's heart, being of a right spirit. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. This is how our lives look like. And Jesus said, happy are you if you do them. You know these things. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful and thankful for your grace and your goodness and your mercy. Father, we all need to be reminded. I need to be reminded. It's very easy to go along and slip into the world's way of thinking, world's way of doing things, and to think naturally and carnally of offenses and vices. But Father, help us. And even as the days approach, to exemplify more of the character of Christ. And Father, I know that's what you're doing in the body of Christ. There's more power you want to reveal in your church. But in order for the church to embrace that power and to walk in that power, the character must be the container in which it's kept. Father, you don't fill cracked vessels. You don't fill the marred vessels. So Father, work in us. Work in all of us. Father, those workings of the Holy Ghost. Father, in our attitudes and our actions and our thought processes. Father, may we be in mind and in action as the Lord Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed. This morning we talked about having a right spirit, a spirit of a servant. And it's how you become great in God's kingdom, even how you become great in the world. People are looking for servants. And it'll just cause people to be drawn and attracted to you. And that's the very heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ is in you, that very spirit is on the inside, and we need to grow it and develop it and walk in the fullness thereof. But maybe you're here and you've never had a personal encounter with Jesus. You've never had Christ come into your heart. Jesus said this, that no man can get into heaven unless they're born again. And that's to Jesus, God's words. That no man can get to heaven unless they're born again. So why do we have to be born again? Because the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can go to church faithfully. You can be nice to others. But that can't wash away your sin. Only Jesus can wash away sins. That's why we need a Savior. Only Jesus can wash the sin out of our life. And take that sin nature in our heart and put the God-loving nature on the inside. Being born again is a miracle of God that only God can do when you accept Christ as the Lord and Savior. There are many wonderful people that live and die and live good moral lives will not get in heaven because they weren't born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. Jesus said, I am the way. And so maybe you're here, and this may be all new to you, but you know it. I've never been born again. You know, I'm a church member. I tried to do good, but I've never been born again. But you want to be born again this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're not going to embarrass you. But if you're here and you'd like to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. This is between you and God. We're not going to embarrass you. By raising your hand, you're not joining this church. This is between you and your master. Is there anybody here this morning, you've never been born again, you'd like to be born again, you'd like to see this wonderful Jesus nature? Would you raise your hand? Anybody here, you've never accepted Christ? How do you know if you need to do that? On the inside. In your belly area, that's where your conscience is. There's something there that's kind of edging you on. That's where Jesus said, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. See, God loves you so much. Jesus has given a personal invitation. That's how God's real. You sense that on the inside. Your head may say, but this, but that. That's your human reasoning. Also, the devil will try to keep you from making a decision. But here you sense that. A draw towards him. That's God. That's God loving on you. That's God calling on you. And God is such a gentleman, he's not going to force himself into your life. You got to invite them in. Invite him in. So I'm going to look over as God's speaking to hearts. Is there anybody here who will open his door to God? Again, we're not going to embarrass you. Just raise your hand. Once you see your hand, you can put it down. We're just going to include you in our prayer. Anybody here? Anybody here? Okay. I'm going to give one more invitation. Maybe you're here and you have been born again. You know what it's like to have Jesus come into your heart. But you're what we call backslidden. Or the Bible calls a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter. It means you're not living as you should. You're not walking as you should. You left Father's house. It doesn't matter what caused you to leave. The important thing is to come back here this morning. Come back to God. And if that's you and you want to rededicate your life to the Lord this morning. Again, we're not going to embarrass you. You're not joining your church when you raise your hand. Just simply, it's between you and God. Once you see your hand, I acknowledge you can put it down. Anybody, I see that hand. God bless you. Can put it down. Are there any others? Anybody else that would like to rededicate their life? All right, we had a hand of rededication. I'm going to look over the congregation once more before we pray. Maybe you're here and you have not raised your hand, because I know the Spirit of God's loving on people and drawing people. I sense it in my own heart. And I want to give you one more opportunity to invite him in. If you're here, you've not raised your hand, and you know you should, and you want to, would you raise it now? Would you raise it now? We're waiting on you. Anybody? Hallelujah. We had a hand raised. We have people watching by live stream, and God's dealing with hearts. What we're going to do is I'm going to lead you in a very simple but yet scriptural prayer. And we're going to call on God together. And you that raised your hand or should have raised your hand, present here, those watching my live stream, you pray this prayer, let your heart agree, mean business with God. God will hear your prayer. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you call on God through prayer with us, God will hear your prayer, and you'll start brand new here this morning. So let us pray this together. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son and died for me. And he rose again from the dead so I could be saved. This morning, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father. I'm now saved. And my life will never, ever be the same again after this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, we want to congratulate you, those of you who responded. And if you're here and you didn't raise your hand and you know, I should have, but I meant business when I prayed, you know, God heard you. God looks at the heart. And if you did pray that, my wife and I will be up here after the service. We dismiss you. We'd love to pray with you. We'd like to talk with you and just encourage you. And also my wife and I will be available up front if you want us to pray for with you about something, agree with you in something. But amen. How many were helped this morning? Oh, wasn't that? I say, I love eating stuff like that. You know, and just putting remembrance. My job is to take the servant's apron and serve everybody. Less of me and more of everyone else. You just be happy, are ye? Happy. Next time you see someone upset, you just smile. Are you serving? Are you serving? Are you serving? Because people are upset because of self. If you forget about yourself, you won't be upset. Amen. Well, we certainly love you and appreciate you. Hey, don't forget, downstairs in the Dufresne room, our fellowship room, we got some goodies. And so upon exiting, you can go right down, head towards exit, make a left, go down there, and there's a fellowship hall. Hey, don't forget, if you have kids in a nursery children's church, pick them up, because it'd be quite selfish for you to eat goodies and not include your kids, right? And so you think about these things. You know, our nursery and our children's church been serving you. It's time for you to serve them and just release the blessings from them back into your hands, all right? That will serve them greatly. So we certainly love you. God bless you. You're dismissed.